say good morning to everyone. We are very thankful to have each and every person on the call, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. For we believe in the Churches of Christ that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. You want to be saved, you got to believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary's hill. Shed his blood and washed his sins away and purchased his church, his bride, his wife, the Church of Christ. The only church you ever read about the Bible. And the saved are in the Church of Christ. You got to do that. You got to obey it by being baptized for the remission of your sins. And the Lord will add you to the church, the only church in the Bible. And that's what you got to do to be saved. Jesus said, "Any end that's straight, gate for wide is the gate, broad is the way to lead to destruction." Many would go that way. He said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way to lead to life." He said, "Few there be that find it." That's the number you want to be in. Want to be among the few. If you visit with us from other congregations, may God bless you. Pray you enjoyed the worship with us this morning. Pray for our congregation as we are now hindered from going to the buildings because of construction. This is not COVID-related anymore. It's all because of damages done to our building. Hopefully praying that God will get us back in the building soon. Now let's go to Acts chapter 21. We've got some ground to cover this morning. Open your Bible, Acts chapter 21 and the verses number 1. Continue our study of the book of Acts. For this sermon, the title is, "For I Am Ready." I am ready. Verse 1, "And it came to pass that after we were gotten," this is Luke talking, "from them, at lunch, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and then to Patara. Finding a ship sailing over Phoenicia, we went aboard, and set forth. Paul, as we learned last week, is on his way to Jerusalem." Paul is wanting to go to Jerusalem. There are a lot of lost people there, and there are some matters going on there that he wants to go deal with. So Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, but he already knows, has been informed, and he knew, as we learned last week in Acts 20, that trouble awaits him there in Jerusalem, but he's going. And so now, in verse 3, he said, "Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for the ship was unlaid her burden." The ship would be unloaded in Tyre. That's what that means. Verse 4, "And finding the disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." So you know, everyone is concerned. The Spirit working here as well. These disciples are warning Paul not to go to Jerusalem. "And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. They all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed." Brothers and sisters, now let's get into this lesson and the thought of people who really love being like Paul and the people that come into your life that makes a difference in your life, the ministers of your life, the elders, or those men of God who have influenced you, have taught you the truth, that obeyed you, taught you what to do to save your soul. These are people of great value in the lives of individuals. Paul was such a man as an apostle who was out there. Paul was one that traveled. He moved around. He was an apostle. And Paul, because he got outside of the walls of the church buildings that we see today, he was on the road. And Paul was loved by all these different people that he had saved. Many of them knew him, and he affected their lives. And I think you should think about those men who have affected your life from a spiritual standpoint as someone that you should always appreciate. And so here, whole families here walk back to the ship. And notice here that everybody knew, because it had been brought, noised abroad with them, that Paul was getting ready to go through some trials and tribulations, some persecution, some suffering. So they all kneeled and prayed on the shore before the departure. I can just visualize all of them down there by the seashore, the winds and waves are pounding. However, everything they're thinking of, they know we can take it to God in prayer. And I hope to kind of take you there this morning, is that there will be things in our lives that we're going to have to just take to God in prayer. But you can't change the will of God. If God's will for our life, whatever is up, whatever we must face, all things that we face, we can pray to God. And we know God's will is going to be done in our lives. And let's understand one thing. God's will for us is not always known to us what we're going to go through. And this is a lesson that talks about that. And that's going to be my emphasis this morning. And we got to go through some things in life as Christians. Or as for those who are not Christians, you're going to have to go through some pains and suffering in life. There are people like these people who love Paul. You know, if you a man that does what I do, you want to be loved by those who have impacted their lives and feel that love. That's a great part of the accomplishment of a minister, or those who men who evangelists, or teaching of God's word. And I'm sure Paul had that feeling here. That he knew he was getting ready to face some things, but what a joy to have women and men, families praying with you. And when he had taken, verse 6, when he had taken our leave, one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came up to Ptolemais and saluted their brethren and abode with them one day. So Paul is in his travels visiting with members of the church everywhere he stopped on his way to Jerusalem to encourage them, to salute them, to edify them. And the next day, verse 8, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea and entered to the house of Philip the evangelist, which is one of the seven which abode with him. Now, this is Philip the evangelist. This is the same Philip that was in Acts 6 among the seven that was chosen to help the Grecian widows. He's also the same Philip that was sent to the Ethiopian eunuch. So Philip was an evangelist. It means he moved around. And he was going places to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it's just real to stop at Philip's house. They stopped there and spent some time with him. I'm sure they had some conversations about the preaching that they'd experienced and some companionship there with Paul. So he spent time with him. That's a great thing about Stroud and myself. We spent a lot of time together as men of God who preach the gospel. There's a lot we could share. But you got to have people in your life. You know, remember this, Brother Brooks Sargent. Preachers are human beings. And we struggle just like everybody else. But God will provide people in your life to give you the prayer you need, the strength you need, the encouragement you need. And so I'm so thankful for him, Brother Brooks. He's the man that I reach out to when I need to talk. I need to sit down and have tarry with, spend time with, that can relate. And be careful about putting a man on a pedestal. This is not the case before. I'm not putting him on a pedestal. And you shouldn't put no man on a pedestal. And all of us and young men on the call who are aspiring to be preachers and elders, the lowest position you take is humility. Don't desire to be put on no pedestal, held up as somebody greater than others. Be cautious. Be cautious. If you think you stand, take heed. Unless you fall, things can happen. But you can think that you got it, you're very spiritual, you're ahead of the game. And there come that brick that I talk about. And those of you who know me, the brick. The unforeseen travail. That comes, that will challenge your spirituality and your mindset. It's what we're going to focus on some this morning as well. But I'm speaking to all of us about this information I'm sharing about Paul, how they loved him. They loved him for what he'd done and his work. You should love those who do the work of the Lord. In verse 9, it says, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now, this is prophesied in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28-29. Peter repeated again in Acts 2, that during that time, the time of miracles, and there were prophets, and those who were prophesied, and women were prophesying, but they were not preaching. It's two different things. They could tell the future. But it was their daddy that was the evangelist. He was the one preaching the gospel. Prophecy, just prophecy. Women have their place in the church. He's not preaching. That's 1 Timothy 2, 11-15, 1 Corinthians 14, 34. I won't spend a lot of time on that. But verse 10, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he would come up unto us, he took Paul's girdle. It's just garments they wore, had a belt like on them. And he bound his hands and feet and said, thus said the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owned the girdle, and shall deliver him unto the hands of the Gentiles. So this prophet is also telling Paul. Not that Paul didn't already know. Remember, Paul was guided by the Holy Spirit as well. But Paul has to make his personal decision. So these people all informing him that something's going to go down in Jerusalem. Paul already knew. He had already said that in Acts 20, that afflictions and bonds. He knew he was going to be locked up. He knew these things had already been revealed to him. But you know, when you come down and make a decision whether to go and do the will of the Lord, God is not going to make you do it. Now, Paul is going to have to make this decision for himself. But he's getting warned that it's going to happen. I personally believe it was a test of his faith. Think about this. Everyone is telling you not to go. Everyone is warning you there's danger here. So Paul's up against a decision here. In verse 12, we had heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Luke said, we besought him. Besought him means beg. Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. We already know there's too many things going on. Now, what causes people to to beg someone like this? It's love. See, when you love someone, you don't want them hurt. You don't want to see them hurt. That's love. That's what love will do. None of us should want to see anyone, because we love them, go through pains unnecessarily. And that's what love is doing here. And when you see people going through things, love should compel us to help them, to try to be there for them. And the Apostle Paul has this kind of love around him, so his companions are really concerned for his well-being and safety. They're trying to persuade Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And they have legitimate concerns. For Paul even told them in chapter 2, the Spirit had led him to know these things. The affliction and bonds would come upon him. However, I want you to pay attention to Paul's mindset. And I want you to hone in and really listen carefully to this portion of this lesson. We call it attitude. I want to fix it on the mindset. Is your mind fixed? And that's the main point of emphasis. Is your mind fixed? You have a fixed mindset toward suffering as a Christian. As we enter the main thought and text this morning, listen to Paul. Listen to his response. What mean ye to weep and break my heart? Just think about that, what he just said. Paul knew their love for him was so great. He didn't want to see them crying over him. That's not what he wanted to see. He said in King James, what mean ye? Why are you crying? What mean ye to weep and break my heart? Paul was touched by the love response. I've been touched in my ministry by the response of love. The times when, and this is a hollow height moment for me, for you all to know, been with me since I've been here. We've been through some things. Brother Brooks has been through some things. All of us have. But your heart is touched when you know that love was the bond. Love what kept us together. And this expands beyond relationships. I mean, in all relationships, when love bonds marriage, love bonds Christian relationships, it will break our heart to see someone hurting. If our sorrow brings us together, godly sorrow, sorrow of the heart, it's better for me. That's why in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, what is better for man? Sorrow is better than laughter. So his heart is broken. Because he knows the meaning of what they're doing and the expressions of their love to him breaks his heart, touches him in a special way. But here's his mindset. Here's the fix he has in the title of my lesson. For I am now ready. I know y'all crying. I know you're concerned. But I want y'all to know how I'm thinking. I'm ready. But Paul said, I am now ready. I am ready not to be bound on. They don't lock me up. I know that. I'm ready to be locked up. But not just be locked up. Paul said, I'm ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you see this? His mind was fixed. No matter how much they tried to persuade him, no matter how much crying they did, his mind was fixed. What was it fixed on? I'm ready to deal with whatever comes to bring glory to God, even if it requires death. Paul gonna get to Jerusalem. He's going to get challenged to go along with some things that he shouldn't. He's going to make a mistake in Jerusalem. I'll point that out next week. In the next chapter or so, we'll see Paul kind of gave in a little bit. People there in Jerusalem was putting pressure on him. We don't see that. But right now he's fixed. He's fixed in his mind. It's going. And the whole purpose of his mind being fixed, him being able to say, I'm not ready, because he knew what he was doing was for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Question today, as I challenge your thinking. How many on the call this morning could make this statement in all honesty? That you were ready. You were ready to face whatever comes to you as a Christian, even to die. And as I studied this, I challenged myself and said, am I ready? Could I make this statement with all sincerity and honesty? You judge yourself. What it takes to be ready? A fixed mind. A mindset. That we know why we're Christians. We know why we are. Or that we know. We have to know this. I'm going to talk about this later. That we're going to suffer. For the name of Jesus. Some people would answer this question emphatically, yes, I'm ready. But let me point out a few observations I've made over the years. Some Christians can't even take words or harsh sayings from someone else without getting upset. Some Christians quit serving the Lord because of other people at the church building. don't even believe in God or not even acting like a Christian. Carnality. How many fights have we seen between Christians over something that's foolish, irrelevant, don't have any meaning to our salvation? People leave the church because of something that was said or done at the place of worship. They go to another place, and they'll leave that one too because they don't want to suffer. They don't want to have to take the low road. Words hurt. People will say things that's part of suffering. Some people, Christians, leave the Lord when they get hit with bricks, trials, tribulations, coming to their life. How many times have I heard Christians who are going through things come back to the Lord? Say, I couldn't take it. I left the Lord. I left truth. Over trial. The mind wasn't fixed yet. The mind was not set to deal with whatever comes with living this Christian life. Some people leave the Lord. It comes to financial troubles. There are people who, Christians who leave the Lord when their marriages are failing. I'm just not going anymore. I'm going to move my membership. I'm going somewhere else. Well, you're running from what? Is your mind fixed? No matter how much we go through or what the reasonings are, we're going to have to go through some troubles in life. And you could be that person on the call because your husband divorced you or walked out on you or wife left you. You're now going to fold your hands. But the Lord hasn't left you. We'll look at that later on. The Lord didn't leave you. It's that your mind wasn't set on suffering in this life as a Christian. Some people, Christians, give up on the Lord because of the difficulty of living the Christian life. Having to do right. Having to walk the straight and narrow, if you will. They call it Christian living. Which Brother Stroud talks a lot about Christian living. Dealing with the trouble, dealing with the trial. Count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. What does that mean? Things going to come in our life. And it's for the purpose of developing us, strengthening us, getting us stronger. But there's some people who fold their hands and leave the Lord. Not going to be stronger that way. You know, only a few will make it. Who will stick to the Lord. Through good times and bad. But what happens when we quit? What happens when our mind is not set? Do we bring glory to God or do we bring shame on the name of the Lord? Yeah, if your family knew you used to worship and you was going to worship every Sunday, then they know you going through these things. All of a sudden you know, and they say, why you don't go to church anymore? Why are you not at worship anymore? Well, I'm trying to work through some things. What do you think about that? How can we work through things in life and leave God out? Think about what's going on. Your mind is not fixed. Not a mindset in place that whatever comes with this life, I have to deal with it. In my sermon called Life Without God, I talk about that travail and exercise. What Solomon says, this sort of travail is God giving us to the sons of men to be exercised. That painful event to be exercised. How you deal with the event? You deal with them with God. Not by leaving God. And when we deal with suffering with God, we bring glory to the name of Jesus. Paul's mind was set. See, he said, but also to die Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. Not for him. He wanted to bring glory to the name of God. Jesus. Paul said, I'm ready. How about challenge you to think about that? Are you ready? I mean, how many on the call can honestly answer, I am ready. I'm ready to take what comes with this. Is there someone on the call this morning suffering because you're wearing the name of Christian? Are you living a Christian life and you're taking something that's coming with it? Is there somebody on the call this morning who need to just admit that you've fallen? Admit you've given up? Admit your life is on a dead end, headed down a dead end street? Admit you've walked away from the Lord? Admit you've gone, you've taken some suffering, and because you didn't deal with it well, you're at a point now in your life that you're suffering the consequences of your decisions. And you want to come home. You want to come back. That's the good thing about God. And Jesus said, I stand at your door and knock. I want you to come back. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He's telling us to come. He's calling you back to him. There's someone who needs to understand what Paul and these disciples finally understood. Luke says in verse 14, and when he would not, Paul refused to be persuaded. We ceased. Luke said, we stopped trying. And here's where they came to a conclusion. Saying, the will of the Lord be done. Here's the answer. When we obey the gospel, we're giving our life to Jesus as our master. We're servants. And we're understanding the will of God. Let's be real clear. In the will of God for Christians is suffering. You remember Job? Man, who's perfect and upright and eschewed evil. But God had a hedge around him. He suffered losses, physical losses, monetary losses, the life of those he loved. He suffered losing his children. Do you know that was in the will of God? It's called a permissive will. God allowed us to go through experiences such as death. He allowed us to suffer in his life. See, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, if you go there with me real quick, in verse 12, he said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory in God rested upon you. And on their part is evil spoken of, but on you, your part he's glorified. And he said, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other men's matters. See, he's not saying God's willing for you to suffer because of sin. That's not what he's saying. He's saying in verse 16, if any man suffer as a, what, Christian, let them be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. Now watch verse 17. For the time is come. That was back then. This is not judgment in the future. This is right then. The judgment begins at the house of God. And that judgment would cause the judgment of suffering. When it first began, Peter was saying, we're already going through it. We're suffering because we're Christians. What shall be the end of them that obey not the God? The end of them who obey not, they are not Christians. They're going to suffer without God. And he said, the righteous scarcely be saved. Be saved from what? Suffering. Man, what is the ungodly and the sinner man going to do? Then he says in verse 19, we're sealed the deal here. Wherefore, let them suffer how? According to the will of God. Commit the keeping of their souls to him and well-being. We're in this to do the will of God to save our souls. That's why we suffer. We take what comes under Christian, because at the end of the day, we're doing it to save our souls. We're keeping up our souls and well-doing unto a faithful Creator. It's, we suffer according to the will of God. And that's why Luke them says about Paul not being able to be persuaded to turn and not go and face Jerusalem. Because the will of the Lord will be done. The disciples, the weeping, the crying, the begging, none of that. None of that, even though it touched his heart, could change his mind. Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you ready? You all do remember that Jesus had the same mindset. You remember when he was going to the Garden of Gethsemane? And before he got there, he had ate with his apostles in Matthew chapter 26. And you see, he had his last supper for his death. He knew that suffering, he was going to suffer in Jerusalem. He already told in Luke 24, he would suffer in Jerusalem. So Jesus knew he was going to suffer. Paul knew he was going to suffer. That he would suffer in Jerusalem. Jesus knew that he was going to suffer in Jerusalem. He told his apostles. He told Luke 24. You turn over there. Look there. In Luke 24, 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets concerning me. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ, notice this, to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So here's Jesus before his apostles. He's with them. He's getting ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now let's listen to how he was affected before he went through the terrible persecution and death he went through. In Matthew 26:36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Now Jesus, like Paul, knows he's headed to Jerusalem where they will crucify him. I don't want to know the future, y'all. I don't know what's coming. You don't know what's coming. If we could, then according to our will, I wouldn't allow some of the things to happen. But it's not about us. Our future is in the hand of God. We can't change the past. We can't go back and undo nothing. It's over. That's done. All we got is right now. And tomorrow is an unknown to us. We're not going to be like Paul. We're not going to be like Jesus. Jesus knew all things. The Spirit gave Paul this information. We have to deal with today, with God in our life. And we are ready for whatever comes in life. Possibly I'm not ready. But are we ready? Are we ready? Look at this. Go back over there. In verse 37, he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. See, even Jesus going into this, preparing his mind, was feeling the human side. Paul, he was hurting over knowing he had to go through some things and how much pain it was causing others. Remember that? Here's Jesus. He's sorrowful, very heavy. And then he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, said, Oh, Father, if it be this possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. As I said, would we say if we knew, let the cup pass? Sure we would. This is Jesus demonstrating, this is, I can't go into an understanding that I'm not going to suffer, but would I suffer if I didn't have the right mindset? Would I be willing to suffer? But he showed his mindset. Not, it's not my will, because my will is not to do it. It's yours I'm doing. You know. He cometh to his disciples and find them asleep. He said, "Up people, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." That's the fleshly side of us. They don't want to endure the pain. But the spiritual side of us must understand, our mindset must be that we're going to do the will of God. And we accept his will, whatever it is to our lives. When he comes unto the disciples, find them asleep, he said, "What, could you not watch and pray? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." Ain't that what Luke and them said to Paul? It's the will of God. And here's Jesus saying, "I got to drink the cup. That's your will, I'll drink it." And he came and found them asleep again. Their eyes were heavy. He left them, went again, prayed. 3 times Jesus prayed to let this cup pass. That's why I know repetitious prayer is okay. Jesus prayed the same, prayed 3 times, asking the same thing. But accepting the will of God is the end result of the prayer. Whatever God's will is for our lives, that's what we accept. Then coming he to his disciples and said unto them, "Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man will betray into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go beyond. He that is at hand doth betray me." When suffering comes in our life, as with Paul, as with Jesus, our mindset should be, the mindset should be, "I am ready. Because I want the will of God to be done in my life." There's someone on the call this morning who needs Jesus, who've given up, feeling overwhelmed by life. Realize you're not ready. You can't say it. "I'm not ready. Look at me. Haven't been overwhelmed with something devastating, something that's taking over your life, or something that's keeping you in that slump. Have you left Jesus? Have you been challenged? Have you suffered? Are you suffering now? Ways of suffering. Maybe it's sickness, cancer related. You're going through chemotherapy, you're going through radiation, you're going through the sickness of the medication. You're suffering. Are you ready to allow the will of God to be done in your life? Are you bringing him glory through your suffering? Or maybe it's pain in you. Physical pain, or mental pain. Some suffer physically. There are those who suffer mentally. Some suffer to the point of taking their own lives. We have to accept the will of God for whatever comes in our life, whatever travail that comes, that faces us. We have to do it. We have to deal with it. How do you deal with it, brother? With God. Will I cry? Yes. Did God give us tears? Yes. Will we have sorrow? Yes. All those things come with living the physical life. We're looking at the loss of a loved one, the loss of someone you truly love, and the pain that comes with that loss, and the memories that remind you day in and day out, your degree of love for that individual, in love with your child, your mom and your dad and your sister and your brother, your wife or your husband. And you say, I just want the pain to go away. No, it's not. Because that's love. That's what love does. That's the way love works. It causes us to mourn, to deal with it. And maybe you're on a call today and you still grieve and you say, I should be over it. Grief is an indication of how much love you have for the person. And it could take months. It may take years. And even though the tears won't stop flowing from your eyes or your face, in your heart of hearts, because you love that person, the tears will still fall. When no one else knows, that's suffering. And I know that there's somebody on the call that can relate to me. When you lose the one you love, or you lose the people you love, the indication of love, the indication, the degree of grief is the degree of love, which is a beautiful thing. Think about, of course, everyone. I was thinking about my own personal situation with losing Sharon. You know, we go through phases of grief. And maybe this will bless somebody. I hope it will. But you go through phases. You get hit with the brick, and that's the day you get the phone call of the loved one you lost. That day is a day you'll never forget. It's the day that will forever be etched in your mind if you love it. But then it's suffering, the shock. Not day one to be the shock when you get the information. Then there comes this part of the suffering called the deep sorrow, where you go through this crying and wailing. You know, when people want to go to funerals, when they trying to when they sing the homegoing celebration, everybody up clapping, they trying to take away what God gave us. It's designed. Death is designed to take us into deep sorrow and wailing and crying. We're supposed to be crying. Because the living should lay at your heart. And the love of the individual will cause you to have deep sorrow. It's okay. It's okay to cry. Jesus wept. The disciples were weeping. When they were walking behind Jesus, all the women were weeping and crying. It's okay. That's part of what we do. That's part of how we... You got to go through the pain of the whatever travail is coming in your life. You got to go through the pain, and part of going through the pain is the crying and wailing. That's okay. That's what it is. You got to hurt before you heal. It depends on how you define heal. If you define and heal as, I'll never feel the pain anymore, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a fixed mindset that I understand what happened in my life was the will of God. My wife died because of the will of God. My brother died because of the will of God. You lost your loved one. It was the will of God for your life. You allowed it. Could stop anything. God can stop anything. You allowed it. Step three, after the shock, after the sorrow, for Christian, you go through a struggling moment. You're struggling. Why me? Why now? Why my life? Why? This can apply to divorce or death, a lot of things. This can apply to not just death, but the struggle, the shock. And she's going to leave you. The shock that a man is going to walk out on you after all these years, after you made the vow. And the crying. This is to a single mother who husband walked out on you, he left you with the children, now you cry. Or the man that broke your heart, that you thought loved you, you found out he didn't. Or the woman who broke your heart, you thought she loved you, but you found out he didn't. These steps are all inclusive, not just the losing of a loved one. So the third step is the struggling of why me, why my loved one, why now, why my life, why? Sure, you're going to have those questions going through your mind. Did I do something wrong? Should I have done something better? Why would you grieve? Why? Where's the guilt coming from? What are your regrets? What did I could have been a better wife? I could have been a better husband. I should have done this. I should have done that. That's a struggle. That's a struggle. In other words, meaningless. Why? You can't go back and undo anything. Perspective is my mindset. It's where I am today. It's what I'm dealing with. That I got to be ready for these things to come. That's what Paul said. He was ready for it to come. He was ready for these things. And his mind was set. Even though I would cry. Even though they would cry. Even though I would suffer. Even though I'll regret doing it. Even though I don't want to go through some things like Jesus. It's great. Just let the cup pass it. But at the end of the day, the decision is mine. Is I want to do your will. Step four, if you're writing it down. Step one was shock. Step two, sorrow. Step three, struggling within your own heart. Step four, sanctification. When you take an event that comes in your life and brings the pain to you, and you accept it as the will of God, that step four, that sanctification, that means I'm accepting the will of God. Yes, I was shocked. Yes, I went through sorrow. Yes, I struggled with why. But now I got to get to a point where there's an acceptance. I accept it. I can't change it. It's not going to get better. It is what it is. And then you start setting yourself apart. Sanctification means set apart so that the event is not controlling you. Whatever the pain is, it's not controlling your behavior, your responses to others, and your love for God. It's not controlling you to leave the church and not controlling you. It's so bad that I don't have nothing to do with no Christian at the church building. I don't want to go back to the building. I don't want to be around nobody. It's so bad that you don't want to have nothing to do with the Lord. No going back to worship. You left the church. You're in your home now. You're dealing with that event has taken you from God. But when you accept the will of God, and you can say, like Paul, I am ready. You can do that. Even today. What are you ready for? To accept the will of God for the pain that I'm going to go through. Or the pain I'm currently going through. And you set yourself apart from that. So that pain don't control you. Paul said to them, why are you hurting me like this? And Luke said, when we see that he could not be persuaded, we ceased. Luke's recording. They got there because of Paul's example, that he could not be persuaded. And they learned from that, that Paul was willing to do the will of God. Have you been set apart from your event yet? Or is that event controlling you? The fifth step. Step one, shock. Step two, sorrow. Step three, struggling. Step four, sanctification. Set apart so the event is not controlling you. Fifth step. Service. It's the time when you can share your pain for the purpose of comforting others. Listen, girl, God gives us pain to help other people. He's the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He's the God of all comfort. Go over there and read that. Verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort, who comforted us in all of our tribulations. I don't feel the pain because you haven't accepted the will of God. See, God's will for your life is that you got to trust me through your pain. I'm going to give you comfort. Even through this message today, I'm being comforted as I remind myself. By the comfort where we will, ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abounded in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation, salvation, which is effectual and enduring of the same suffering, for which we also suffer, whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of suffering, shall ye also be of consolation. See, there'll be times when I can share in this fifth step I'm telling you about. The service. I was told one time, I told about a gentleman who, I think he had a problem with me, but he said, your brother didn't die. But I talk a lot about my brother's, the pain of my brother's death when I first became a Christian. And I said, no, he didn't die for me. Jesus died for me because of his death. Because of his death. I had to examine my own life. That's what Paul meant. Solomon meant. The living will lay at the heart. See, when I saw my brother in that coffin, it made me think about my own life. That's the impact it had. But the saving impact was the gospel. The saving impact was the preaching of the cross. It was at the cross where I first saw the light. It was on a hill far away, stood on an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Jesus, if I be lifted up, I draw me. He drew me to the cross, drew me to him for my comfort, for my salvation, for my hope. Don't let anyone discourage you from taking your experience and use it to bless someone else with. That's called serving. That's the last step of grief or going through suffering. You got to set yourself apart from that event and start serving others. That's when I talk about my wife's death in the dark room I'm going through, I'm now starting to serve others, even though it's still painful. But am I serving? I'm serving you by saying, hey, here's how it works. Here's what I've experienced. You cannot talk about something you've never been through. I would never, ever tell anyone that I understand what you're going through when you've never gone through it. I have never gone through losing a spouse. I could never tell anyone about that. And whether people don't want to hear it no more, I'm going to keep doing it. Because people need to know the experience. You haven't walked in these shoes. You can't talk about it. You ain't lost a child. You can't talk about losing a child. I don't want to talk about losing a child. I don't know what that's like. I never say to someone, I understand what you're going through. I know what you're going through. No, you don't. You can't know it until you do it. In Romans chapter 5, Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. By whom we also have access by faith and through this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. I'm in Romans 5. Slow down. I want y'all to get this. Romans 5, 1. Listen to this. Listen to it. Paul is talking about him. I'm going to start over verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's what you want. See, when your mindset, you can be at peace with God no matter what you're going through. But also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That's the grace of God in your life. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The hope is the salvation. Not only so, but notice this, Paul said, we glory in tribulation. Huh? Pain? Yes. Why? The tribulation, the pain that you are going through right now. He said, knowing that the tribulation working patience. You got to wait on God to get you through some stuff. You notice in verse 4, notice what comes after patience. The pain, the waiting on God comes and experience. See that? First point, patience, experience. Experience is when you actually go through it for yourself, when you actually know what it is. That's an experience. And you can't talk about something that you don't have experience. That's why each of us go through different experiences. And those experiences are designed for us to work on our spirituality, to understand that we have to deal with tribulation and patiently wait on God, and then take that experience and give that comfort to other people. That's what God's design is. And after you get through the experience, you've got hope that, man, God got me through it. He can get you through it. So I'm in that last step. That's the piece I'm talking about here. That here's where you are. You take your experience and you bless someone with it. Give you those steps one more time. Shock. Step two, sorrow. Step three, struggling. Step four, sanctification. Step five, serve. Give your experiences to others that they may be a comforter to them. And you bring God glory by telling those people who are going through this that God got you through. And you give them hope. That's God's design for suffering. Will we suffer? Yes. But Peter said, if you suffer, let them suffer according to the will of God, committed to keeping your soul to him. And in closing, it could be pain, it could be marriage, it could be your life, it could be your finances, it could be your children, it could be your job, it could be your home, it could be the sin unto death, the one you ain't repented of, and it's bothering your conscience. You know you got to get that right. It's your fight against Satan. It's the burdens of life. And John gives us some encouragement in Revelation chapter 7. When the elders said, who are these arrayed in white robes? He says in verse 14, these are they that came out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the beginning right there, my friend. You've got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. When did that happen? In baptism. In baptism, your first step of doing the will of God is obeying the doctrine. The will of God. You can know you're saved. We don't have to guess on whether we're saved or not. As long as we do the will of God, you cannot be lost. The people who will be lost will be those who do not do the will of God. What do you mean? Obedience. Obedience in baptism, obedience in repentance, obedience when you confess your fault, obedience in worship, obedience to the will of God, obedience in suffering. The mindset that if I suffer, I'm going to suffer as a Christian. And that's the beginning of relief, of doing the will of God, of ever being able to say, I am ready. You'll never be able to say you're ready if you don't take the first step to be baptized for the remission of your sin, become a Christian, a member of the Lord's church. And then there'll be a day that God gives us assurance through the scripture. There'll be a day in Revelation chapter 7. In verse 15, the maid Bob John says that, therefore ordained before the throne of God to serve him day and night in his temple. He that sit on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun of light on them for any, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto living water, fountains of water. And God, notice this now. There coming a day when the suffering ends. But it ain't going to happen in this life. That's when God says, okay, you don't need the tears no more. No more crying, no more death, no more hospital, no more sickness, no more trials, no more bricks. It's when we make it to heaven. That's why Peter says, suffer for the sake of your soul. As I close, I'm now ready. Paul, the Apostle Paul, after going through all, he made it through Jerusalem. He's going to make some mistakes there, I'm sure. He kind of gave in to the Jews and went mingled with the, you know, trying to, he did some things he shouldn't have done. You don't never know how you're going to deal with suffering. You don't never know what mistakes you're going to make. And I'm going to show how Paul made some mistakes later on. But he made it through it. And he wrote this and closed it to another young evangelist. An evangelist, as I said earlier, a man who wants to travel and do it. He's traveling, doing it. That's your preacher's desire. My desire is to preach as much as I can, everywhere I can. That's why. That's my heart. I'm an evangelist at heart. That's my prayer. Preach as much as I can, everywhere I can. That's my prayer. Here's another young evangelist. Y'all pray for me now. Another young evangelist. Paul writes to him as I close in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In the last days of his life, Paul wrote the charge, his advice from experience now that he knows is right before his death to another young evangelist. And I take this charge myself. I charge thee before God, he says, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall heap themselves teaching them having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fable. But watch thou all things. Notice it. Pay attention. Endure affliction. Take what comes with it, Timothy. That's what he had to do. Paul is talking from experience now. He's not just talking. He done went through it. Now he writes back to this young man. He said, endure the affliction that comes with being a Christian. Do the work of an evangelist. Full proof. I think one of the great mistakes of the church is that we don't have enough evangelists. We got the men who get in their little four corners of the wall and try to blow that congregation up rather than expand outside our heights, outside of the building. We want to reach everybody we can. That's why our nationwide is so successful. That should be the mindset of all of us. Paul did now. He said, make full, do the work of the evangelist. Go preach. Go save people. Make full proof. Do everything you can to carry out your ministry to his greatest desire. And he says, now, here I am. Now he gets personal. But I am ready. There it comes in, and there it comes again. Let me say it over there to them. Say, I'm ready. Now Paul said, now I'm ready to be offered. This time he knows for sure the time might appoint. I'm going to die. I'm getting ready to die. This is it. But I got a past statement to make. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Paul said, I did it. I fought the fight against all the wrongs. I finished the course of life. I kept the faith. I held on to what God is for there laid up for me. He's assured, no doubt in his mind, he's going to get his crown. And that's the way we can live. There's no doubt in our mind the crown is coming. With the Lord, the righteous judge shall give me. Paul said, I'm sure I'm getting mine at that day. He said, not to be old at this point. I like, none of his appearance. Paul says, do that diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas has forsaken me. I love the present world and the party of Thessalonica, Cretans, and Titus unto the land. But only Luke was with me. He said, Luke is back with him. Remember, Luke was with him when he said, I am ready in Acts. And Luke is with him now. And Luke know he made it. Jerusalem. Luke know and can look back and say it was the will of God for him to go to Jerusalem. Many people were saved because Paul went to Jerusalem. And Luke know that. And Luke's with him. He said, take Mark and bring him with me. He told Timothy to bring Mark to be with me too. He's profitable to me. Titus, I've sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left with Troas, Corpus, but now comes bring with thee books. He's still trying to study and read God's word. Alexander Coppers said, Coppers did me much evil. The Lord reward him for his work. You don't worry about people who do you wrong. God will take care of him. That's not part of the course. We deal with that. Let God handle it. Let go and let God. Whom be aware of. For he had greatly withstood that word. Now, and my first answer, but this is what Paul was at. No man stood with me. All men forsook me. I prayed that they may not be laid to their charge. He'll hold nothing against anybody. and that he's ready for his death. He's not holding up against anybody who did him wrong. He said, but at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. Verse 17, notwithstanding, even though men may leave you, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Yet by me, the preacher made me fully known that all the Gentiles like you, and I was delivered, that's in Jerusalem, out of the mouth of the Lord. And the Lord delivered me from every evil work and preserved me unto the heavenly kingdom. Do you know his deliverance wasn't a deliverance from beating? He got beat. He got whipped. He got stoned. You hear what he's talking about? He wasn't talking about the suffering he went through. But he's at the end of his journey now. And he made it to get his crown. How about you? Are you ready? When nobody else is standing with us, the Lord stood with Paul, and the Lord gave him strength. I don't know what you're going through in your life today, but I hope this message will touch you. If you're on the call today and you're not a Christian, oh, you're going to suffer. Why don't you believe that Jesus hung and suffered on the cross for you? He suffered for you. They beat him, they whipped him, they put a crown of thorns in his head, they drove nails in his hands and his feet. In Jerusalem, he suffered for you. And on that cross, he stayed 6 long hours. Shed his blood that will wash your sins away at baptism. If you're on the call this morning and you want to be a servant to that Jesus, you want to make him Lord and master of life, number one, you must hear this gospel message and believe it. Acts 15 and verse 7. Jesus commanded Mark 16, 15 and 16, Matthew 20, 18, go teach the gospel, teach all nations, baptizing them. And that's what you need to be done. That's the beginning for you. You cannot say, I'm ready. You have not even obeyed the gospel. And then the Lord washed your sins away in baptism, Acts 22, 16, and Revelation 1 and verse 5. The blood will wash your sins away. You step in that water and believe in Jesus in there. Your blood will wash away your sins. And then baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2, 38. And then after hearing it, after believing it, repent this morning. Make your decision that you're going to come to Jesus because you know suffering is ahead of you. Don't suffer without God. Don't suffer without God. You're going to need him. You're going to need it. And then after that, you got to be baptized. Then the Lord would add you to the church. The church in the Bible, the church of Christ, the only one. The same in church, Acts 2:47. You're not in the church of Christ. I'm saying you're not saved. Yes, I am. But you don't want to die like that. And then live faithful. Live with this in mind. I'm ready. I'm getting the mindset to be ready to deal with whatever comes in life. And I'm going to deal with it with God on my side. And if you're a Christian this morning, and I've come into your life, I've come into your home, I've come into your suffering, I've touched on your travail, or I haven't touched on your travail, but you got to understand that the pain you're going through, you're suffering as a Christian. And maybe you need a prayer. Let us pray with you. Hit 5-star your phone. Let us pray with you today. If you need prayer, listen, we don't have to do everything you're going through, but if you need prayer, we want you to come. I'm coming into your heart. I'm coming into your life. I've come into your travail. I've identified your break. I've pointed out your error. I've pointed out the pain that's coming with it. I'm sure you that it's okay to go through pain. I'm sure it's okay to cry. Maybe you need to cry. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe we need to pray with you. Maybe you need to confess your fault. Ask God to forgive you. If you're on the call, you're a Christian. You need to come back to the church. You left the Lord because of pain. Come back home and get ready to face God's judgment. Get ready to get your life right with God today. We're going to have a song of encouragement. If you come, who should come? Those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you come. Let us know you want to be baptized. We'll make the arrangements for you. Who should come? Those who need prayer. Who should come? Those who are suffering right now. Who should come? Those who need to be closer to God. Those who need to be strengthened. Those who have lost loved ones. Those who are grieving. Those who are going through marital difficulties. Ask for prayer, for the prayers of the righteous avail it much. Be